Thanks for being with us this hour on The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. A week after the deadly school shooting in Parkland, Florida, National Rifle Association Executive Vice President Wayne LaPierre made his first public remarks since the killings at the annual CPAC conference. That's the Conservative Political Action Conference in Maryland this year, saying that opportunists were seeking to exploit tragedy for political gain.
Their goal is to eliminate the Second Amendment and our firearms freedoms, so they can eradicate all individual freedoms.
The NRA is a longtime sponsor of CPAC, but there are signs that their anti-gun control stance might be harder to sustain in the court of public opinion than it was before. Several large companies announced last week and over the weekend that they were cutting business partnerships and ending discount offerings for NRA members. That suggests that normal marketing arrangements are now getting too toxic for corporate America if the partner is the NRA. Marty Lanzini-Murray is a retired teacher and a public school administrator in Florida, and she recently re-upped her membership in the NRA, and she did it because she says she wants to see the organization change, and she wants to be part of that change from within.
This is my third time joining, and the first time was in the 60s when my husband and I were members, and we were hunters, and we were college students then and didn't have a lot of extra money, and so we let our membership lapse. Joined again in the 80s when my husband also, who is a Vietnam veteran, he was a member when we married. It was a second marriage, and we kept that membership up for several years, again, being hunters, but then let that membership lapse because we stopped hunting. And it was after the killings at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School that I thought it was time to join again, because I've been a member of the organization before, and I wanted to be a voice within the organization as a person who believes in Second Amendment rights, and also as a person who has been in a school and been a teacher as well as an administrator in a public school in Florida.
So how do you think your voice, Marty, could benefit the NRA? I mean, you're aware of their policy standpoints. You see how the NRA argues in public for Second Amendment rights. You believe in those rights. Why do you think they need your voice here?
I think my voice and the voice of a lot of the members in the NRA, I have friends who are members of the NRA also, and I believe that people like myself can make a difference if we keep our voices heard. So many people have come out and have said there are certain things that we need to do to protect our Second Amendment rights as well as protect people who would be hurt by guns. And so I'd like to see the face of the NRA change to reflect changing laws. My husband is a Vietnam veteran. He's actually battlefield wounded. And the weapon that he carried in Vietnam is very similar to the weapon that's sold today, and I believe its name is an AR-15. And in my mind, that kind of weapon needs to be in the hands of military people and law enforcement, not in the hands of citizens like myself. I'd also like to see high-capacity magazines not available, because in schools, the killing zone is because there are high-capacity weapons with magazines that shoot many, 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 many rounds rapidly. And so I'd like to see magazines limited in their size. I'd also like to see more background checks, people's criminal histories available for purchase of weapons. And mental health is kind of a touchy subject because mental health is protected by HIPAA laws. And also, being mentally ill doesn't mean that you're going to commit a terrible crime. But there is mental health available. You can find information about people because of court-ordered mental health treatment. And so that could be a part of background checks. And in addition, I'd like to see research on guns, weapons, violence in media, and mental health. I'd like to see more research done on how these all go together.
Well, Marty, you're for an assault weapons ban. You're for universal background checks, for banning bump stocks and high-capacity clips. Polls show that most Americans agree with you on all of these points, but none of these are the position of the NRA. In fact, the NRA fights tooth and nail in Washington against any of the changes that you're talking about. What do you think is going on in that organization?
I really couldn't say with purpose that I know what's going on. I think there has to be a change in the culture and the way the leaders lead the organization. And there is one thing I do know, and that is doing nothing is doing something. And so with the number of Americans who are interested in this issue, something needs to be done. And I would also ask that like-minded individuals like myself join the NRA so that our voices can be heard within the organization.
What's next? What are you going to do to try to change the stances of this organization that's built up a public profile and a legislative stance and a relationship with members of Congress all over the map for decades?
I'm going to do what one small voice can do. I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to keep pressing on this issue. I'm going to write to my legislators, and I'm going to visit them in their offices. Every time a constituent calls a legislator, even a phone call, is recorded as a vote for one thing or another. And every one of our elected officials has a way of keeping track of this. And so I think common people like myself, with no particular wealth or powerful position, common people can make a difference. We can change. We just have to not give up. And again, I would have my voice be heard in the NRA by letting them know how I feel.
Marty Lanzini-Murray is a retired teacher and public school administrator and a member for the third time of the National Rifle Association. Marty, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Americans everywhere, inside the NRA and outside, are talking about what we can do to prevent another tragedy like Parkland. Well, last week we asked you what changes to U.S. gun policy you want to see, and we got an overwhelming response from a lot of you who are gun owners and many of you who aren't.
Hi, my name is Richard Davis from Westford, Massachusetts. Every time a politician or any citizen at all says my Second Amendment rights, I'm in favor of Second Amendment rights, they are basically acceding the conversation to the NRA, who is defining what those Second Amendment rights are. Instead, we should be talking about that issue and what is the Second Amendment and what does it say and what does it allow us to do.
This is about the Second Amendment for Richard. For some of you, it's about money. From Jersey City, New Jersey, there's a large gun manufacturer in Florida that builds assault weapons. The state gave them tax breaks. There's too much money involved.
I don't see a real change in any gun policy until we get politicians out of the pockets of NRA lobbyists. Mario from Salem, Oregon.
Hi, this is Mitch Walker calling from Florence, South Carolina. I do not own a firearm at this time, but I have in the past. I think insurance for liability from misuse, probably have to prove your insurance coverage when you buy ammunition. That would make sense to me. The biggest thing that we need to do is lift the veil of liability protection from the manufacturers, because if we make them potential targets in wrongful death lawsuits, I think they'll take care of a lot of this on their own.
We got this message from Indianapolis, Indiana. Require training, passing a test, and insurance just like you have to drive a car.
I'm Ellen, and I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I grew up on a farm in rural East Texas with guns as a part of everyday life. I live in a city now. No gun needed. We must close the gun show background loophole now.
The gun show loophole, that allows people to buy guns at gun shows where background checks are not always required like they are at licensed gun shops. Then there's the issue of training. Is carrying a gun on the street or in a classroom or anywhere else enough for protection if an assault happens?
My name is Anna, and I'm from Orlando, Florida. I am a gun owner, and I support the right of responsible Americans to own guns, and I support tougher gun restrictions. In my opinion, obtaining a permit should be required for any gun purchase or ownership. Speaking as someone who has a permit, no criminal record, and no mental illness, the class I was required to take did not prepare me to use a gun. I chose not to carry my weapon until I felt I would be able to use it and use it effectively in an emergency situation, which took a lot more classes and practice than legally required.
Now, some of you say that the laws we already have on the books are enough and that they just need to be enforced. From Louisville, Kentucky, one listener writes, I do not support any changes to gun laws. We should enforce the laws we have on the books. And yes, I am a gun owner, but my father was shot and killed with a handgun, and I still don't blame the gun. I blame the person. And some of you suggest putting the onus on manufacturers.
This is Ronnie in Detroit. The casualty surcharge is a gun policy idea I assimilated from law professor Christian Turner. We can make firearms manufacturers start internalizing the negative externalities of their business by requiring them to pay an actuarially established value to, say, the Department of Health and Human Services for each death or injury attributable to their respective arms sales.
Thanks to all of you for weighing in on this critical conversation in America. Your voice is the most important part of what we do here on The Takeaway, and you've had so much to say since Parkland and even before. And we want you to keep driving our conversation. Stay with us.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.